This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome on into game day, everybody. Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak. Cullen Steele in the studio as we get ready for kickoff. High noon in the Caesars Superdome against the New Orleans Saints and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And get those rattles ready, gentlemen.
It's rattler time, baby. I'm excited. Are you excited? I'm excited.
You've been waiting, and it's fine. Oh, your wish has been granted.
I'm excited. I think it's going to go very badly, personally. Like if I was making prognostications, but I'm excited about it. Let's be real. I mean, like my longstanding take is that rookies struggle in the NFL. That's the way of life. That doesn't mean you shouldn't play them. That doesn't mean that they can't be good. That doesn't mean they can't get better. But you're asking a lot of that kid today. Like this is a, I kind of put it this way, you know, during the week is like, hey, if I before the season said, I will give you a button, you have to pick two games where you start your backup rookie quarterback and you throw him into the fire. Which games would you pick? They would not be these two games. They would not be back-to-back short weeks where you have a limited time to plan, particularly not when the team you're facing has 10 days to prepare. Now, they haven't had 10 days to know that the backup would be in there, but I still don't like it.
I hope you are fueling up for game day. Luke Augusta just hooked me up with some coffee, getting ready for
a
noon kickoff, like I mentioned that. Also, 10 a.m., the Cajun Cannon Bobby Aber will be joining us for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. And obviously, we were talking about Spencer Rattler there, folks.
Oh, we didn't say his name, did we?
Right. If you didn't hear, Derek Carr has suffered an oblique injury. He's definitely going to miss this game. And, you know, speculation
most likely
is
Thursday.
Right.
Yeah.
Thursday night football right afterwards against the Denver Broncos.
It's hard to imagine a guy who's not ready to go for Sunday will suddenly be ready to go for Thursday. It just doesn't work. I don't think it works that way. It's just not enough time. If it was Sunday, maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, I think you're looking at two games of Spencer. So, let's see what he can do.
Talking about those injuries, looking at our LCMC health update, 8 hospitals, 1 promise of keeping you well. Obviously, Derek Carr in that number of being out for this matchup. Also, Taysom Hill, Cesar Ruiz. We have Will Harris and Pete Werner out for the Saints, definitely. And then questionable is a Peyton Turner, a Lucas Patrick. Kendra Miller also questionable.
Yeah, we don't have to call him questionable anymore. He's back.
He is back.
Yeah, he's listed as questionable, but it's not questionable for health. So they kind of made that decision yesterday. They added him to the active roster. They moved Will Harris to injured reserve. So that opened up that roster spot. They elevated Jonathan Abram and Chris Reed from the practice squad. So you didn't – I was curious whether they would do it that way, whether they might give, say, Kendra, hey, we're going to wait one more week, and we're going to sign Jonathan Abram to the active roster. Instead, they used Will Harris's roster spot to bring Kendra Miller back, which I think is the smart move because I need something. I need something on offense that is more than Alvin Kamara running the ball. But you're still getting Jonathan Abram. I think this is his second elevation from the practice squad, so you get one more before you have to sign him to the active roster. But I expect him to be the guy today. I think he's going to kind of fill in that role, at least based on what we saw last week.
Yeah, you mentioning obviously Will Harris, I said, was out. He's really out. They say
he's on injured reserve.
Right. Looking at also, you mentioned Jonathan Abram, also Chris Reed. Have been elevated to the active roster from the practice squad. If you're not aware, Chris Reed, a guard for this team. You know, you look
guard
some of the names.
He's played a lot
you
of
look
center.
At, you're like, wait a minute, who is that?
Well, I think so. That to me is kind of insurance. I think it depends on Lucas Patrick. I think it's good. If I'm guessing, I think it's a situation where you're going to see if Lucas Patrick can go. And I wouldn't be surprised if Chris Reed is inactive just because Lucas can go and you feel good about it. Whereas if he can't go, then you don't have a backup center. So Chris Reed would be your backup center, and Connor McGovern would probably start at center. I expect Connor to start either way. because if Lucas is active, I'm probably putting him at guard. So we'll see how that goes.
The Buccaneers also having their injury concerns with the offensive line. Center Graham Barton out for this game. That's a big hit for them. You also look at corner Christian Eisen out. Trey Palmer, wide receiver, and Jalen McMillan, Cameron Johnson, three wide receivers right there for the Buccaneers, all out. And defensive lineman Ernest Brown, well, dealing with a rib injury, is out for them. Questionable, Jalen McMillan, Jordan Whitehead, Antoine Winfield, and Luke Getke, and Kalijah Kansi. But I'm fully expecting Kalijah to be in that mix today, finally back for them.
Yeah, I think he'll be limited. Getke, I would expect, you know, he's tough. He's been full in practice all week, but he's dealing with a concussion. So he's been out for a while with that concussion. Honestly, the one you didn't name is the most impactful, and that's Rashad White.
I was going to say the running back doubtful, yeah.
I would not expect him to go when you're going to get a good dose of Bucky Irving and whatever else behind him. But, no, I mean, this is one of the first weeks that I felt like the Saints are on an even playing field with the other team in terms of injuries. Other than maybe the Falcons, this is the second straight NFC South matchup that neither team had their starting center and weird, another, and likely another major piece of that offensive line. So, you know, that should work to the Saints' benefit to some extent, right? Like, you should be able to generate pressure. Baker has always been a guy that I think is underrated in terms of his ability to extend plays. We saw, like, if you put Pat Mahomes at a 10 of 10 in terms of ability to extend plays, which I do,
yeah,
I'd put Baker in the 7.5 to 8 range. Like, he's up there. He's really good at it. Now, he's not as elite at it as Pat, but if you go back to that week 4 matchup last year, that was the story. It was, hey, the Saints are getting pressure. Baker's extending. There was a touchdown to Kate Otten in the first half where Cam Jordan came unblocked and Baker just found a way to make a miss and then just, like, dumped it over the top. Like, that, you can't let that happen today. So, you know, hopefully they figured something out, because that was, again, like, that was a big story last week. You know, Saints generated pressure. We talk about their pass rush and say, hey, they're not getting home. They're getting there. They're not getting the quarterback to the ground. That's the problem. So hopefully that changes today.
Yeah, we know Baker isn't a guy that's really going to, you know, take off and run, but he does have that escapability, very mobile guy.
Yeah, he got some wiggle. I would call it wiggle.
And I would think Spencer's kind of that same type of quarterback with the wiggle. He's really not, you know, someone that's going to take off.
He is, though. Like, I want to see more of that from Spencer.
The escape or just the designed runs?
No, when Spencer gets into trouble, I think he bails on the pocket too early, and he's not necessarily looking to extend the play. He's looking to get out and run. And I think you need a balance of that. And I think if Spencer, as he gets more and more experience, I think that's going to be more of what you see. But I kind of expect to see a guy who panics a little bit. And I'm not trying to say that in a negative way. When you're in your first career NFL start, there's going to be a little bit of that. You're going to rush a little bit. Your clock's going to get sped up. But I hope you can see more of that. I hope you can see him scrambling a little bit to extend the play, because that's how you really stress the defense. Like, running, great. Running, obviously, forces the defense to account for an extra body, and that changes the dynamic a little bit. But if you really want to snap a defense in half, force them to have to cover for 5, 6, 7 seconds and then hit someone downfield. You want to break their will, that's how you do it. Like, running for 20 yards, great, but they're like, okay, fine, you got it that time, we'll get you next time. When you do what Pat was doing to the Saints defense last week, there's no coming back from that.
You know, we did the Inside Black and Gold podcast the other day. There, I can get it out right. And, you know, I mentioned, oh, these are, you know, NFC South matchups, always tight ones between the Saints. And you're like, not really between the Saints and Bucks. So I'm there going to look at some of the numbers afterwards. And it really is surprising that, you know, these typically aren't your field goal type games between these two teams.
No, I mean, there haven't been a lot of blowouts. Like, you're not talking about like 20, 30 point wins other than that one in Tampa, the 38-3 game. But 9 of the last 10 meetings between these two teams, including the playoff game, was a two score final line, right? Whether it was not like that 9-0 game, like, not a huge scoring game. You would say that was close, but it's a two-score game. You can't score nine points in one try. It's just that you could try as much as you want. It's not going to happen for you. You haven't seen these games come down to the wire. And it's interesting because the Saints have seen back-to-back, or not back-to-back, but two out of the last three games come down to the wire like that.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And the other element of this series that's kind of bizarre You go back the last eight matchups, the road team has won six of the last eight games in this matchup, and that would be seven of eight if the Saints hadn't blown a 16-3 lead with 4 minutes to go in the 2022 season out in Tampa.
Right.
So, like, the road team has been dominating. Like, the Saints won that – they dominated that game, but they lost it. The road team has been dominating in this series, and it's hard to explain. It's kind of inexplicable. You'd think the home team would have the advantage. They have not.
Coming up at 10 a.m., folks, the Bud Light countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Then it'll be kickoff in the Caesars Superdome, a noontime game time right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. If you are coming to the game today, want to remind you, if you can, bring some things to support folks in the victims of Hurricane Milton. The Saints, in collaboration with the United Way and the Red Cross, are collecting essential hygiene and cleaning supplies for those affected by the storm. That'll be going on, I think, right up to the first quarter. They'll be collecting the items. Make sure you bring them to the game. Cleaning supplies, like I mentioned, hygiene items like conditioner, soap, toothpaste. You can look at all that at WWL.com. And all the gates when you get into the dome area will have that. Well, you'll be able to drop that off. You're not going to be carrying that to your seats or anything. So, obviously, folks, we've been there, done that, and we know what the folks, unfortunately, in Florida are going through right now with the effects of Hurricane Milton. And if you can, bring something to the dome today. Help out a little in this matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're here on First Take. Want to hear from you, 504-260-1870, as we get ready for Bucks Saints right here on WWL. Be back after
the days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Break. Welcome back into First Take, the only sports show coming to you live from the Caesars Superdome as we get ready for a new start against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Obviously, big game. Need to snap a losing skid. Need to get a win against the division rival, the Saints. We're currently 1-1 in the NFC South, and playing a team right now in Tampa Bay that is 3-2, so they have that little bit of edge against you already. Losing to the team in the Atlanta Falcons, who are also 3-2 right now.
How about we do it like LSU did last night? Maybe a little earlier.
Man, oh, man. I don't want an overtime game, though. Maybe we can handle business in regulation.
I just like to see some of those kind of nails. Like, that's the thing. So far this season, when the Saints offense has needed a go-ahead drive late in the game or a tying drive late in the game, right, they've delivered. Right now, obviously, against the Eagles, you didn't in that second scenario, but you got it the first time.
Right.
And I'd say those are probably 50-50 propositions in most cases of, like, do you get it done? Do you not get it done? So do you get that today? And that's what LSU got last night, right? That's what they got in that final. Hey, you need a drive here. You need a touchdown. It's now or nothing. This is the ball game, and they got it done. That's what you worry about with a rookie quarterback. If you put a guy in that situation, you don't know how he's going to react. That's why I think it's important to score early today. I think, you know, those kind of planned situations where you have a plan for it, you have a script, like your first few third downs, your first few fourth downs, you know, what plays are you most comfortable with? You need to execute on those early in the game, because I think if the Saints are playing from behind, it could get long.
You know, you mentioned obviously playing, you don't want to play from behind with a rookie quarterback. And if things don't go well with Spencer Rattler, what are the Saints going to do? Clint Kubiak, the Saints offensive coordinator, was asked, what kind of leash does Rattler have on him in his first start today against the Bucs?
Yeah, you know, that's not something that I'm really worried about. I think we're worried about giving him success. And that's not something I want him to worry about either. I want him to go play the game. And if you're worried about your leash and when you're coming out, if you make a mistake, I think you're going to be in trouble. And again, that's something that I think if you make it to this level and you're playing quarterback at this level, you're probably not worried about that, because you just got to have a little swag and you go play and bad stuff happens and go to the next down. You know, same with us as an offense. You know, lose some games, who cares? Nobody. We got to go to the next play, go to the next game, and we get a chance to do it. You know, two games in a couple days here, which is great therapy. So I'm looking forward to those too.
Clint Kubiak there. Makes a ton of sense, obviously, Jeff. You don't want to be going into the game thinking, all right, it's my first start. I know I'm going to have these jitters. Things aren't always going to be a success. But if I end up doing this, this, and this wrong, I'm going to end up getting yanked from this game.
Yeah, and then for Clint Kubiak, that was like the equivalent of a monologue. Like not exactly a loquacious fellow, but I did feel like there's some energy this week. I think when you're a coach in the NFL, you know, this is the type of situation that it's like, that's why you do the job. If you're not excited for this type of situation, you're not excited for this challenge,
right.
I think you need a different job. So, and I think that is kind of what we felt from him. Like, not exactly someone who's going to give you a lot, but I did feel like there was a lot of energy from him in his press conference this week, so we'll see how that goes. But, no, yeah, I think that's the right approach. Like, you shouldn't send Spencer out there thinking, man, if I struggle early on, they're not going to give me a chance to play through it. They're just going to yank me and say, hey, Jake, what you got? On the other side, that has to exist somewhere. Like, there has to be some level of a leash. You got to protect a guy from, like, hey, this is not going well. Like, you get into the third quarter and it's just not working. You have to be ready to say, hey, let's try something else. But, no, I don't think you're going into this game saying, hey, if he throws two interceptions in the first
That's
half,
it,
we
got to
figure it out. You're playing a young quarterback. It's not going to go perfectly. That's why I'm trying to set, like, kind of the expectation here. Like, there's going to be a lot of fans in this building very excited to see Spencer Rattler.
For sure.
And I need you to understand, like, it's not going to be this perfect kind of coronation that maybe you're hoping for. You need to see him bounce back from those mistakes, from the things that don't go well, because that's inevitable. You're going to run into adversity in an NFL game. It's not about whether you can be perfect. It's about whether you can respond when it isn't perfect. When you do throw that interception that maybe you can't control, or the ball gets tipped up, or you get a sack fumble because you didn't see a guy coming, okay, fine. You got to come back. You got to bounce back. You can't just say, well, I guess we're done now. So that's to me, that's the bigger thing. It's not, hey, Spencer, can you play perfectly? It's like, hey, Spencer, can you deal with the things that happened in this game and not lose the plot entirely? Because that's what you see happen to rookies sometimes, especially in these early career starts, that they just, you know, everything's going a mile a minute. It's kind of a whirlwind. You could very easily kind of lose track of where the path is. And so we'll see how that goes.
You know, one of the things obviously everyone talked about too going into this week, that confidence, that swagger, quote-unquote, that Spencer Rattler has. And there's something definitely about the guy, just a magnetic kind of personality or whatever draws people, fans to it. And head coach Dennis Allen and offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak made sure to mention, though, that Derek Carr and Jay Kaner also have that swag factor about them.
Yeah, that is one thing that annoys me when we talk about, like, everyone's got an agenda.
You got to compliment someone, but this one's also good too.
Everyone's got an agenda when it comes to discussing quarterbacks, and it's like, I need, like, being complimentary of one guy is not being negative about another guy, and that's why the coaches feel like, oh, yeah, okay, well, I just want to make sure that you know that I'm not only talking about Spencer here. But, no, I mean, there's a reason you went out and got Spencer, right? You know, obviously it was a fifth-round pick, but that was the, you know, I think if the Saints had an earlier pick, they would have considered taking him there. They'd only had fifth-round picks.
Right.
And they didn't trade up. But, you know, you brought him in. Like, there's a reason you're going with Spencer over Jake this week. And it's not because they don't like Jake. It's not because they don't feel like Jake can get the job done at the NFL level. They feel like Spencer's their guy. And this is an opportunity to see what he has. And I think the upside is there. You know, I think to some extent you were kind of shielding him from a bad situation. And that's why you went with Jake as your game day backup, because you didn't want to have to throw your high upside rookie that you really feel like, hey, this guy could be our starting quarterback someday, into that hornet's nest of Kansas City in the fourth quarter where, well, what did Jake gain from that, right? Other than a few reps, maybe some game tape, like, he's not going to look back on that opportunity fondly.
Right.
Like, that was a, okay, let's get out of here alive situation. And I think the Saints are happy with the fact that they didn't have to throw Spencer into that situation. Now, you heard what Clint said. Like, we want to give him success. We want to give him the answers so he can go out there and have a fighting chance. And so we'll see how that goes. I really like Spencer's approach. I like his demeanor. He's got that kind of golden arm that everyone's talked about. Like, Bub Means talked about it in training camp. And I asked a lot of these young players, like, hey, what do you think of Spencer? How do you think he's developed? And everyone kind of gave the same answer of, like, y'all are going to see. Like, that dude is different. When he gets out there, you're going to see, and you're going to understand what we're seeing right now. And so I'm excited about it. Well, is this a situation where you can live with, hey, the quarterback played well, but we lost because he just wasn't ready? I don't know, but this is where you are.
Kubiak goes into more about that swag factor from Rattler and says, everyone just, you know, calm down a bit. It's not everything.
I don't want to overplay the swag thing. You know, it's like, it's a nice thing to have, but at the end of the day, are you producing? And you could be, You can have my wet blanket personality in it. It's about producing. Those guys got to produce no matter what their personality is.
Clint Kubiak dropping jokes here at press conferences. What's going on?
Basically a stand-up comedy special for the Kubiaks. But no, and I mean, I agree with him. I mean, that's just where you are. Like, you have to have that confidence. You have to feel like you can go do the job.
That's great, but are you producing exactly? What are you doing on the field?
Right. It's really, if you're not producing, you could be the most, you know, affable personality. You could be the most endearing personality in the world. People are going to turn on you if you're struggling.
It's so amazing how that goes.
It makes it a lot easier if you can be that way from the start and everyone is already on your side to begin with. It's that won't go very far if you throw a few picks early in this game. I mean, we look back the last time a rookie started in a Saints uniform and you kind of feel for the guy because he never, again, you're talking about a guy who never got a fighting chance. That's Ian Book's story.
Right.
And his first throw of that game, even under those circumstances, his first throw of that game was a pick six. Like, that's on you, man. Like, that's not on the supporting cast. That's on you. And that's just a situation where it's like you got to avoid those scenarios. You got to avoid the mistakes and take advantage of your opportunities. And, you know, the Saints are not used to having to deal with a rookie quarterback. So that was 2021. That was Ian Book. Before that, I want to say Danny Werfel in 1997. You know who it was before that, the last rookie to start? You should know this. He'll be here in about an hour.
No, really?
Yeah, Bobby Hebert. I want to say it was 1985. So if you go back like three decades, you've had two rookie starting quarterbacks in a Saints uniform. So that's not a lot. The Saints have not dealt with this very often.
Wow, that definitely obviously a huge rarity right there. Looking at the talent level of Spencer Rattler, definitely without question, I think that arm stands out. We had Mark Schlereth, Odyssey NFL insider, stop by Sports Talk during the week. He was calling a game. I think it was either the Panthers matchup or week two against Dallas. One of those games he was around for and got to see some of the Saints practices and really said what he got to see at Saints practice, watching Rattler, what stood out to him.
There was a difference in the way the ball came out of each of their hands. And I'm just telling you, Spencer Rattler lets it eat. Like, that guy has got some athleticism. And when he throws the ball, man, it just jumps out of his hand. And every time he was in, you know, running the scout team or whatever, and they were rotating some reps, you know, as the number twos go in and play a little bit of offense on a Friday when I'm standing out there at practice, every time he threw the ball, I was like, damn, I did not realize that Spencer had it like that. That dude can sling it.
It's definitely one of those things, Mark Schlereth talking about Spencer Rattler's arm. When you're there on the field, you know, and see him up close and personal, it definitely is different. It's definitely special.
Yeah, and I mean, what makes it so unique is he's not a big dude.
Right.
Like, he's a very average-sized quarterback. You know, you would say maybe even below average in terms of, like, I think he's, like, 6 feet. You know, you look at, like, a lot of quarterbacks are 6'3", 6'4", and you don't even realize it until you stand next to him. Like, oh, that's a big dude. Spencer's very much kind of a Lilliputian fellow. Like, he's not Kyler Murray. He's not small. I would put him around the same height as Drew. And so that's why when he releases the ball and it just flies out of his hand, it's like, wow. You know, it just has one of those remarkable, you know, arm cannons that help you get it done. Now, arm talent in the NFL is not everything. Otherwise, you know, there's a lot of, like, Jay Cutler would be the best quarterback of all time.
Bobby also say Jeff George, you know, the best quarterback he ever saw throw a ball.
Right. I mean, like, there's a lot more that goes into playing in the NFL at the quarterback position than being able to make all the throws. But if you can't make all the throws, then that makes your processing all the more. Like, you can succeed as a quarterback. Like, look at Drew later in his career. Like, his arm was jello for the last several years, but he was so good at processing. He operated so quickly, and he understood what he was doing, and he understood where to go to the ball so fast that he was able to have success even without that top-tier arm talent as his shoulder kind of let him down, right? Now, it's a lot easier when you can start with the elite arm talent and learn everything else. But that's kind of what the question is today. Like, what's the second part of that equation? How is he seeing the field so that he can make the throws, right? You can't make the throw unless you know where it's supposed to go.
Looking at this matchup, noon start here in the Caesars Superdome. We already have action underway for Week 6. The first game of the week has kicked off. Well, that's actually not true. Thursday Night Football is the first game of the week. But the first game for Sunday has kicked off. We are in London, and they are getting to see the Chicago Bears and Jacksonville Jaguars. Ooh-wee. what a matchup overseas they're treated to.
Yeah, I was asking you earlier, who do you think would win the fight, a bear or a jaguar?
I'm going with the bear. Obviously, the jaguar could outrun them, but I just think if you're going to go head-to-head and straight up, give me the bear.
I think the jaguar would get off to a hot start. I think it would get the first few blows in, but then the bear would be like, wait, I'm a bear. I'm going to win
this.
Big
paw coming in.
Yeah. All I need is one shot. I'm done. I got you. So that's where I'd go. But, yeah, jaguars, bears, not exactly a – you know, it should be a better matchup than it is for a couple number one overall picks going out to London. I think the jaguars, you know, you talk about disappointing. You know, the Saints are in a situation where it's disappointing because you started hot and then you lost three games. You don't know where it's going to go. The Jags, I mean, going back to last season, like they got a win last week, but man, they're in a bad way.
No, and obviously everybody has concerns over the quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, and
everyone but Trevor, because he just got paid.
Well, that's the wild part too. He got paid without really even proving anything. But they, you know, you look at the contracts for quarterbacks and. Man, oh, man, what Trevor has accomplished versus the reward he's getting there seems one of the way askew contracts that have been handed out in recent years.
You're not going to see a lot of quarterbacks signing $50 million a year contracts in the midst of a 9-game losing streak. Let's put it that way.
Pretty amazing there for the Jags. And, yeah, once again, there in London, they've adopted basically as London's team for playing there all so much.
Good for them.
That's good way to achieve that.
Happy for him.
Looking at this matchup, though, with the other team from Florida in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a tough matchup inside the division, and we talked about it a little bit, but at this point, you are kind of in that must-win situation. You're 1-1 in the division. You've lost 3 in a row, though. You have a tough week ahead, obviously. Another shorty going on for you after this matchup. Boom, Thursday night, you're back at home to host the Broncos, and you don't want to fall in suddenly, boom, you've lost your last 5 games?
5-game losing streak is tough to overcome. I would say, like, oh, when's the last time the Saints lost 5 games? But it wasn't actually that long ago, and the guy who did it for him was Sean Payton back in 2021. So Sean knows all about 5-game losing streaks, right? But, I mean, you look at that season, the fact that they finished 9-8, they gave themselves a chance at the playoffs, that was kind of a remarkable coaching job by him in the end. But that's, you know, you look back at, like, okay, the Saints have a 3-game losing streak, right? Over the last 10 years, going back to 2014, you know, you've had six seasons with a 3-game losing streak.
Yeah.
Only 5 of them have completed, because we're including this current one. In all 5 of those seasons, the Saints missed the playoffs. In the other 4 seasons, you didn't have a 3-game losing streak. They made the postseason. So long losing streaks are tough to come back from, man. You cannot allow them to extend much longer than this. Otherwise, it's like you're looking at, hey, maybe you can make something magical happen. But when you have to rely on that this early in the year, that's a bad season. So you got to turn it around soon, and hopefully that's today.
Yeah, obviously, you know, you dropped the game to the Atlanta Falcons, the other team atop the division right now. That's tough. And you got this Tampa Bay team. You don't want to be going down a game to them early on either in the standings. But you look at this schedule for the Saints too. We've talked about it, how top or front loaded the NFC South slate of games has been for them, because used to it towards the end of the year, and that's not really, it's not like that at all this year.
Yeah, and I think this is kind of an inflection point in your season. It feels really negative. I think we feel really negative about the Saints right now because obviously they're on a 3-game losing streak, but more so because they're coming off a game against the Chiefs where it's the first time all year that I feel like they just got outplayed. Like they were in it. They didn't have a chance in that game. You know, obviously they cut it to 3 with Collins' interception, which was one of the most fantastic moments of any NFL game this year. But like, it's tough when you're looking at a scenario that, like, hey, I mean, we're already 2-4. We've lost 4 games in a row. It's so early in the season, but it's tough to bounce back from that. But then you look at, hey, if you can find a way to win this game, which the Bucs are in a difficult situation too, right? They've been here since Tuesday. They've been distracted. Obviously, they have that 10-day like recovery window after Thursday Night Football. But I mean, you win today, you're 3-3. You're tied with the Bucs in the division. Like, you're right there. There's a lot of 3-3 teams in the NFL. The difference is oftentimes you look at the 49ers and Seahawks, for example, right? Both teams are at 3-3, but they feel like very different 3-3s, right? Like you want to be. Like, this is the point in the season where it's not over if you lose a couple games, but you got to be ascending. You cannot be descending. Like, that's where you look at the 49ers, and they played on Thursday Night Football. 49ers won, get to 3-3. It feels like, hey, they're going in the right direction. Seahawks lost. They fall to 3-3, but they've lost 3 games in a row. They won their first 3 games, and they lost their next 3 games. You feel like, man, they're going the wrong direction. And you just need to feel like you are progressing. You need to feel like, hey, we're figuring some things out, and we're finding ways to win games, not finding ways to lose games.
Like you mentioned in the podcast, pull out of that Top Gun tailspin.
Yeah. At a certain point, it becomes a death spiral, and all you can do is hit the eject button and survive in whatever way that looks. We're getting close to that point. If you lose a couple more games, it starts to feel that way. So, you know, this is the, you know, I don't know. You got to find a way to get it done, right? Rookie quarterback, a lot of injuries. You're at home. Go win a game.
We are here on First Take, brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Taking a break here. We'll be right back. Want to hear from you on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking Text Line. That is 504-260-1870. Back inside the Caesars Superdome right after these messages. Be right back here on WWL. We're back here on First Take inside the Caesars Superdome as we get ready for a noon start between the Buccaneers, who are 3-2, against the Saints, who are 2-3. And we've been diving deep into a lot of Spencer Rattler talk. Obviously, there's a lot more to this game, though.
Well, no, I mean, I think we're good. I think we were talking about the right thing. I think that's what it's going to be about.
That's the big headline, for
sure.
I had someone
ask, like, hey, you think, well, how do you feel? You think the Saints are going to win this game? And I think it's like, hey, I think either Spencer's going to play well enough for you to win or he's not, right? Like, that's, to me, that's the biggest question. And then there's a lot of other questions, like, hey, who returns kicks? You know, are you going to stick with Jamal Williams? I am getting a little I like Jamal Williams. I'm just confused at the decision to have Jamal Williams back there. And it's not because, like, I asked Darren Rizzi about it this week, and one of the things was like, hey, you really gotta realize the guy who doesn't catch the kickoff has to field or has to block, right? And I get that, but the problem is when you put Jamal back there next to Rashid, they're gonna kick it to Jamal every time, so it's not Jamal who's blocking, it's Rashid who's blocking. So my thing is, like, either you put two returners back there or you take Rashid out, because there's no point in having Rashid back there if they're not gonna kick it to him. That's my problem with it. Right? And I don't think Jamal's done a terrible job. He did have that one kind of goal line mistake where he wasn't sure if he had already come out or not, and it kind of messed with it. But, like, I feel like you either go with two elite returners, so they have to pick one, or you don't necessarily have either back there and you just figure it out. Because it's just – I feel like if you're going to have Rashid do all of this, if you're going to have him play, you know, 80% of the offensive snaps and be your wide receiver two and return punts, take something off of him, because I don't like the idea of sending Rashid out there when they're just going to turn him into a blocker, you know? And so, like, I don't know, you have Mason Tipton, you have other guys. If they're going to kick it to that other guy, I want that guy to be a returner, right? And at least if you put two other guys out there, you could say, hey, they have to decide which one. When you put Jamal out there next to Rashid, they're going to kick it to Jamal, and they would be foolish not to. And it's just, I just have an issue with it, because when it was Taysom Hill, I got it. Like, I understand it, because you kick it to Taysom Hill, odds are he's going to do something with that ball. Now it's like, I don't know. If I'm an opposing team and I'm like, okay, I'll kick it to Jamal and make him return it. Because I don't know. Is it like you're just trying to find something for him to do? Because that doesn't make sense to me either. Like, it just feels like they don't have a role for him, and they're just like, hey, we got to keep him busy, so we're going to have him return kicks. I don't know. That's something that I would – I have an issue with.
Looking at Shaheed, too, he was on the injury list this week dealing with a hip issue. We saw him have a few things, you know, bothering him, I know, during training camp. But Shaheed was asked pretty much, how is this injury going into this matchup against the Bucs?
I'm good. I'll be all good. Just trying to take care of this hip. And by the time game time comes around, I'll be all right.
Like to hear that. I'm good. By the time game time rolls around, I'll be ready to roll.
Yeah, that is one question I have, though. It's like, how much chemistry is there between a guy like Shaheed and Rattler? Because you look at how training camp went. And, yeah, obviously there was OTAs. They got worked together in minicamp. But, you know, Rashid was hurt for a good chunk of camp. Right, I don't think he appeared in a preseason game. He had a hamstring injury. Then I think it was a hip. I can't remember what the other injury was. Oh, a toe. He had a toe issue. So he missed a lot of time. And then even the times that he was there, Shaheed was getting the primary amount of his work with Derek.
Right,
and
obviously.
Then Jake and Spencer were splitting reps. So, I mean, I'd have to go back and check. I don't know. They may have had five reps together all the camp for whatever that was. And then this week, when you're trying to get reps, Rashid's been limited with a hip issue. So I don't know. I'm curious. How much chemistry is there really between your deep threat guy and your starting quarterback? And I think there will be a little bit more between Rattler and Olave, and maybe you're just peppering Olave with targets today and it doesn't become an issue. But that is a big question I have, is just how, like, if you get into situations where you hear the announcer say, oh, they weren't on the same page over and over and over again, that's a sign of that. That's a sign of, like, hey, they haven't worked together enough to read situations the same way. right? Like he thinks he's going to zig and Rashid thinks he's going to zag and that sort of thing. That's the type of thing that you take for granted when you have a veteran quarterback who's worked with a guy for a while. And, you know, obviously Derek Carr hasn't had years and years with these guys, but he did have an entire season. And I think, again, with these deep balls, a lot of it is kind of touch and understanding and, like, knowing where to put the ball and to let him run under it. To Ratliff's credit, I did ask Shahid, hey, does he throw a good deep ball? How do you feel like that you have connected? And he said, yeah, he puts a lot of air under it. That's what he likes because he's the type of guy who can go run under it. The mistake you make when you're throwing a deep ball is you try to put it on a line and you don't allow the guy who can run faster than anyone else on the field to make that adjustment. Right, when you put a lot of air under it and you let him make that decision of what pace he needs to go, then you give yourself a better chance. So we'll see. You know, if they hit on a couple deep shots, then I'll be like, oh, okay, I was wrong. But I don't know. I see that as a little bit of a concern.
Definitely looking forward to seeing how this all plays out. We do love that clip, too, of I guess it was training camp when it talked about Chris Olave. Yeah. And basically Spencer was like, I just know I got to get the ball to him.
I have a feeling Chris is going to get more than four targets today. Let's put it that way.
I hope so for my fantasy team's sake.
Yeah, there you go.
Taking a break here on First Take. We'll be back with more, so stay tuned right after this here on WWL. Welcome back into First Take. We are in the Caesars Superdome getting ready for that noon start between the Saints and Buccaneers. Week 6 action right here on WWLAMFM.com and, of course, the Odyssey app. 10 a.m., the Cajun Cannon will be stopping by for the Bud Light countdown, the kickoff, as we get ready for things on the Saints radio network. And obviously a major matchup in week 6 here. You're coming off a tough game in Kansas City, and it really does feel like you just played the other day. I don't know how the guys do this where it's that such a quick turnaround. And obviously they're going to be doing that again this week where you're playing Sunday and then bam, you're going to blink and Thursday night football will be here.
Yeah, I don't know if the average person kind of takes into consideration just how difficult that is. Like, it's hard enough to play on a full week.
A full week,
you,
right?
You take a day away and suddenly it's like, man, everything is sped up. Your recovery, you don't have enough time. And then you add Thursday on top of that. Like, playing on a short week from Monday to Sunday feels difficult. Like, playing on Thursday feels impossible. And that's why, like, I actually think the Saints kind of benefit from that being a Thursday game against Sean. Because, I don't know, I feel like if the Broncos were in the situation the Bucs are in right now and you give Sean 10 days to come up with whatever plan he wanted against the defense that he kind of knows, I would be a lot more worried. But either way, no, this is going to be a challenge. I mean, like, we can't overstate how difficult that is to do for a team.
We're going to be back with more First Take here from quarterback Spencer Rattler, plus our main man, Deuce McAllister's take on the QB, also his keys to the game, coming up with more First Take after this break for the top of the hour news on WWL.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead. Be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.